All right, everybody. Nice to have you with us as we get into our Giants pregame now. Giants go for the sweep of the Arizona Diamondbacks. They've won five in a row now and try to make it six today behind Trevor Cahill and Luke Weaver on the other side for the Arizona Diamondbacks. A very exciting game last night. It ended up 5-1, but it was a lot closer than that. And we welcome in this morning Adam Copeland. Adam, how are you?
I'm doing great, Marty. It was a fun ball game last night, and I was kind of laughing at myself. I think I said to you right before we got off, I thought Tyler Anderson, maybe a middle relief guy, didn't know if he had it in his arm, and he goes nine innings. So heck of a ball game. I had some fun.
Yeah, he did, and you know, he didn't walk anybody. And Torey Lovullo criticized his ball club for being too aggressive. Can you be too aggressive? I guess if you get a pitch that you think you can hit, put it in play. I don't know. It seems to me I do these workups all the time, and first pitches, most pitchers have a little more trouble if you put that first pitch in play.
Well, I think there's something to be said about that, that, you know, there are teams that can be too aggressive and jump on a pitch early in the count, and you become, you know, sort of accustomed to doing that, or that sort of becomes your book or your read that you're going to jump on an early pitch. But sometimes if a guy is throwing strikes, you can't go up there and look at two of them and then be 0-2 every time up. So, you know, there's something to be said about trying to work a count. But Tyler Anderson was extremely sharp last night, and you said it. If he can get through those first couple innings and not walk anybody, and he didn't, he's tough to beat, and he was effective. He had the defense behind him last night, and he didn't fall behind hitters, and that's why he went nine.
Oh, very good boy, nine. How about that? You know, 2 weeks ago, we were arguing about Kevin Gausman coming out in the seventh inning of a one-hitter, throwing 97 miles an hour. And 2 weeks later, we got a guy going nine and going who?
Well, Marty, like I think over this last week, and I mentioned it to you yesterday about the conversation that Gabe Kapler talked about having with Johnny Cueto on the hill when he left him in. Last week or earlier this week, I think he's managing the players a little bit differently than strictly the numbers. And I think you can get too in the weeds with that stuff. And I'm not in the dugout. I'm not in those conversations. I don't know exactly what the difference has been, but it feels to me like he's writing his player or the moment in the game a little bit more with a starting mm-hmm. pitcher over the last five games than just saying, well, it's third time through the lineup. There's one guy on base. We better get this guy out of there. He's proven now in the last week at least that if a guy is cruising and if a guy is not falling behind or missing up or he's still getting guys out, he's going to stick with him. And I think last night was a perfect example of that.
Yep, I agree. Hey, Mark Simon joins us from Sports Info Solutions. Mark A. Simon. Mark A. Simon says on Twitter, as I always like to say, always a pleasure to have him on with us. Mark, good morning. How are you?
I suppose as well to have the other team give you the game through the bases loaded walk. That was an interesting experience of an inning that they had last night too.
I made the comment, Mark. Mark A. Simon says on Twitter, and Mark Simon of Sports Info Solutions. I want to make sure I get that right. I made the comment of that 0-0 pitch of putting it into play. Arizona was very aggressive against Anderson last night. Was there a reason why, and are you a proponent of putting that first pitch in play?
I think so. Statistically, hitters hit over 300 against it. I think because they're being very careful in picking out the good ones. The thing, I guess, that may have had the Diamondbacks hitters aggressive was that once Anderson got himself into a favorable spot, the changeup was really good for him. The changeup was like an A-plus pitch for him. 29 out of 37 for strikes, 16 outs with the changeup, the most outs that any pitcher has gotten with a changeup this year. He kept the ball down. Other than the ball that Yaz caught, there weren't too many danger balls hit against him. It was very impressive. I guess they figured, let us, if we get something good, we better take a shot at it.
You know, Mark, they were doing a side-by-side on the TV broadcast last night, where not a side-by-side, but sort of a cut sequence of showing all the high spin rates that Tyler Anderson has on different fastballs, on his curveball, on his changeup as you're talking about and how it was above league average on a lot of the pitches he was throwing. I was sort of comparing him to Rich Hill, and I feel like Rich Hill, in addition to his getting healthy sort of later in his career, that sort of resurgence with the spin rate is kind of what helped him come back to life and sort of make himself a big leaguer again. What do you think about that comparison, and what did you think about the high spin rates yesterday for Anderson?
The comparison is fair if you take it with the understanding that it was a curveball for Rich Hill that became his super successful pitch, one that he would start at bats with rather than finish them. I'm looking at the spin rate. His fastball spin rate is above major league average by a good amount, not necessarily a huge amount. I thought he was very impressive yesterday in keeping the ball off the sweet spot of the bat. His pitch location was good. If the Giants can get out of Tyler Anderson what the Dodgers got out of Rich Hill, I think they're going to be pretty happy with that.
Boy, can you comment on Arizona a little bit? What's happened to them? They just can't score any runs.
Yeah, they've had a very weird season on the pitching side, with Bumgarner and Weaver and Robbie Ray and all these guys that we're talking about. Maybe the Giants just caught him at a bad time. When this series started, I was pretty significantly concerned for the Giants because the Diamondbacks were on a pretty good run, but they seem to have fallen back to earth. Escobar's not hitting. He's hitting sub 200. Cole Calhoun's not really hitting. They do have the two Martes who have both been very, very good. I think they miss Paul Goldschmidt. Their top home run hitter right now is Calhoun, but they don't have anyone else among the regulars with more than three. So this is a time where they miss him a bit. Their slugging percentage ranks 11th in baseball. Their on base ranks 12th. They do not look like an impressive offensive team to me.
Well, and they're 0-7, I think, now against lefties. Marty and I were talking about that yesterday. They really struggle against left-handed pitching.
Yeah, because Calhoun's not very good against them. It neutralizes Peralta. They have Escobar batting from the right side. It takes the Jake Lamb out of the equation. It takes Stephen Vogt out of the equation. It takes John Jay out of the equation. Yeah, I don't know if that'll stick, but I would say that they're weakened in those matchups, certainly.
Hmm. So we'll probably see Cahill today and say, like Adam and I suggest, say, well, Anderson for five, then the bullpen. Well, Cahill will probably pitch a complete game today. That'll be the end of that. But I assume we'll see some left-handed relief. Coonrod, by the way, the right-hander, has been activated by the Giants. Mike Yastrzemski, 30 years old today. And I kind of compared him a little bit to Muncy and Justin Turner. And, you know, I said this on the show yesterday, you know, Mark, when we started the season preview, you said, well, for the Giants to do anything, they've got to get sort of MVP years out of Yastrzemski, and maybe you mentioned one other. And we kind of thought, okay, well, good luck with that. This kid is having an MVP year. It's unbelievable.
So the thing, I've said this a couple of times because we've talked about him seemingly every week here. The thing that got me in the last week was watching him take the ball to the opposite field in situations where I guess that was possible. He actually has three balls this year hit to a spot where he never hit a ball all of last season, which is right along the third base line, like right along the bag. He's got three of those already this year. He had none last year. You had to shift him last year. This year he's keeping the defense honest a little bit better. The takes continue to be smart takes, leading the league in walks with 23. He just seems to go out there with a plan every time. And you feel like there are certain hitters, Strawberry is like a good example from my childhood on something like this, where you feel something good's going to happen every time they come up. And right now, he's got that about him. He really does. And in the field, too, with that catch that he made yesterday, that was fantastic.
You know, I was, Marty just mentioned it's his birthday today, and I was thinking about, it's so funny this happened, not funny, but it's sort of ironic in that he makes that catch last night, and I think everybody immediately says it's one of the greatest catches we've ever seen in the history of Oracle Park. I think the best one, everybody would agree, is probably the Gregor Blanco catch, and then Pence at the fence is probably right up there, and I sort of juxtapose that with Hunter Pence being DFA'd today, and that being one of the greatest catches we'd ever seen. The night he's DFA'd is the night Mike Yastrzemski sort of saves the complete game for Tyler Anderson. I don't think he throws the complete game if not for that catch.
He doesn't, because there was a man on base, right? And that would have been a potential run scoring hit right there. It was a very impressive play. Since he's been called up, he ranks eighth among right fielders in defensive run saves. But if you compare him, like, innings-wise in right field to all the guys that are in front of him, except for, I think there's one that's similar, but all the other guys are, like, 1,200, 1,300 innings. Mike Yastrzemski, this is a 500-inning sample, and I think you very much like what you see when you put him out there. I prefer him there to center, I think.
Mark, if you had to make an argument for Hunter Pence continuing his career, is there anything statistically or analytically that a team could say, well, all right, we let's give him a shot here?
I think last year, I think last year is what you have to look at with regards to that, and it's why you think he would get another shot. Last year, he had almost 300. He slugged 550. He looked like a completely different player. You could use the beginning of the season and the struggles. You could attribute it to the rust from the pandemic. I remember his expected numbers are a little better. Like, very rarely is a guy deservedly 096. But I remember they didn't particularly light it up. So if he's like a 200-ish deserved kind of hitter, I would think an American League team might give him another shot. Someone with a small ballpark where he could hit a few balls out. Somewhere like Texas would be certainly an interesting place for him. But I think he's got one more thing in him, and then if that one doesn't go well, then I would think he's done.
Okay. All right. All right, we'll take a break. Great to have Mark Simon with us. And I got so many Marks, and Mark Sanchez, I don't know who's on these days, with Adam as well. It's been a long weekend. But we've got more coming up. We want to talk to Mark Simon about Joey Bart, a little bit about Wilmer Flores, and some things about Giants history. Then, of course, we have our always popular Who's Hot and Who's Not. So, Adam, Mark, stick around. We'll be back with you right after this. All right, Mark Simon joins us, Sports Info Solutions. Adam Copeland here as well on this beautiful Sunday here. I hope things are safe wherever you are listening to us today. Early impressions of Joey Bart, Mark, what do you see?
Well, I don't think you can go wrong with a guy that smokes balls like he smoked that one yesterday at the top of the fence. A double in three straight games. Last Giant, the only Giant since moving to San Francisco, who had an extra base hit in his first three games of his career was John Belker. Was the only other one. I think Joey Bart, another JB, will eclipse Belker. If he gets an extra base hit today, that would be four in a row. And I thought this was a kind of a neat piece of trivia. The last Giant to have an extra base hit in his first four games as a Giant, didn't matter if you were at the start of your career or you had been, like, traded for and these were your first four games, was Andres Galarraga. Only played, like, 50 games for the Giants back in 2001 when they got him midseason. He did it in 2001. He had four in a row. So Joey Bart going for that. That's the other thing, I guess, is you like that he finds a way on base, with the hit-by-pitch, just so that he doesn't get too bruised up back there. But besides the double, and besides the hit-by-pitch, the 10-pitch at-bat was great. The 10-pitch plate appearance where he wound up throwing the walk, because he seemed totally locked in on that at-bat. He made it really difficult for the pitcher, and he found his way to get on base, which is, I think, all he could ask for there.
A couple pretty good blasts from the past there for Mark. Galarraga 0-1, and then he came back in 0-3, and they could have used him in 0-2 as the DH. They didn't really have one in the World Series. And then John Belker, the fun note with him is that he was the opening day right fielder in 2010 for the World Champion Giants. And also, he wore number 21, which is what Joey Bart is wearing right now. So kind of a little fun connection between those two guys. But the thing I thought was interesting, and I love that you brought up the 10-pitch at bat and the walk, because Marty and I were discussing that yesterday, and I thought that was extremely impressive. And then last night he comes up and there's a relief pitcher on the mound, and they get a little mound visit. Guys were already kind of starting to discuss how you approach Joey Bart at the plate. We haven't really seen a gaping hole in his approach yet, I don't think, Mark.
No, it's early to say. It's what, 2-3 games, but that I felt like that moment I actually tweeted at Brisby, Grant Brisby, saying you should write an oral history of that plate appearance because it's one that's going to be remembered for a long time. I felt like that said a lot about what he's going to be. Unfazed by the moment, came through in the big spot, showed patience at the plate, has done everything that you would hope that he would do to this point.
Well, I think he's been terrific. Just terrific. And he's a presence. And like I say, Matt Grace was not going to get him out yesterday. There's no question. Hey, Wilmer Flores is in the field today. He's at second base, so let that adventure begin. But he...
Cross your fingers.
I know, but, you know, we laugh about it. You know, I forget, Adam and I were talking about Flores yesterday. You throw an inside pitch to this guy, and the way he brings those hands in, he's an old-time hitter. You can't get him out on an inside pitch. This guy has got something going.
Yeah, he's got it against left-handed pitching. I said to myself last night that I felt like if I looked it up, that he would rate among the 25, 30 best guys against left-handed pitching. And you look since the start of last season and also 2015, 2016, his prime Met years, he was a terror against left-handed pitching then. He's been one against them now. OPS against lefties since the start of last season, over 1,000, 1,030. If you're looking for a comparable, Manny Machado is 1,036, and the on base and the slugging are comparable, and I think that's a good comp. He just causes a lot of trouble. A funny anecdote, when they faced the Angels earlier this week, I prepared the notes, like a page of notes for John and for Dave for each broadcast, and when Sandoval pitched for the Angels, I had said, oh, I should do something on Wilmer here, and I didn't because I had a whole bunch of other things that I did for them, and then Wilmer had the nice game. And then the next day, he was facing that other guy who was making his season debut, and I saw that his top velocity was like 91, 92, and I'm thinking, this is the kind of guy that Wilmer destroys. And sure enough, Wilmer hit a home run against him and had another big game. He crushes lefties. And I know I just kind of said cross your fingers in the field. I don't dispute that he tries, but his best position is very, very much hitter and not fielder in any spot.
Well, he's a typical Farhan type ad. I mean, and we always point out the fact that he's the one guy so far that's got the multi-year. I think he's got a 2-year deal and maybe a team option for a third. So he's going to be here. And the other fun note about him is I think he's younger than Mike Yastrzemski is. We're talking Yastrzemski's birthday. He's a guy who's going to be here. I think they plan for him to be one of these versatile, can play every position for you every day. And as you mentioned, the power is grown, I think, for him over the last couple of years. The OPS, as you mentioned, Mark, up against left-handed pitching.
Yeah, they feel like he's kind of like that Oakland A's kind of prototype hitter. Not necessarily in terms of walks, but in terms of the versatility and in terms of maybe doesn't necessarily look the part, but gets it done. Hopefully he had a rough time in New York with his base running because the coaches seemed to think that he was faster than he was. And he would get thrown out trying to score or trying to go to third base regularly. And I think it's important for WOTUS, and I think WOTUS probably understands, that Wilmer's not very fast. And you have to put the stop sign up for him more regularly than you might for most. He looks like he could be fast, but he's not.
Mark, the Met-Yankee series was postponed this weekend because of the COVID testing with the Mets. What's the status going into next week?
Well, the Mets were fortunate that the last 2 days of testing have yielded no more positives. So they've got two. One's a player and one's a staff member, which I think is a coach. So I think based on what I was reading from an epidemiologist yesterday was that if they have nothing more today and nothing more tomorrow, that they could start their series Tuesday with the Marlins and just resume play and then wind up making up the Yankee games when they play the Yankees next and turn that series into like a 5-gamer or something like that. So with the Mets, it's definitely cross your fingers. Don't need any more positive cases. Hopefully we're able to isolate everyone and execute that in a safe fashion.
Mark, each week when we check in with you, you usually have some guys to pay attention to, somebody who's hot, somebody who's not. You have some notes for us on today's ball game?
I do, and let me put them in front of me here. Well, the San Diego Padres, I know, were number one on my list, and that was because of the Grand Slams. They've already got six Grand Slams this season. They hit six. They hit six this week. It's been a bevy of Grand Slams. They set the record for most consecutive games with one. They went bananas, and I just got my page here, sorry. And the Padres with six Grand Slams, one of them was hit by Jake Cronenworth, who I think is kind of like a Yastrzemski-esque kind of story, in that he's been fantastic this year. He was someone who wasn't necessarily expected to be. 9-for-18 last five games with a Grand Slam, five runs scored. That's one. Move to the Central. The White Sox, last seven games, are hitting .318 and slugging .700 with 27 home runs. Jose Abreu is 14-for-23 in that stand, six home runs, 14 RBIs in his last five games. And then National League East, Braves have won 5 of 6, two coming when trailing by multiple runs in the eighth inning or later. One was against the Nats, big comeback in the ninth inning. One was against the Phillies yesterday against the newcomer Brandon Workman. For them, the catching combination of Travis d'Arnaud and Tyler Flowers combined to be hitting .349 with 20 RBIs.
Solid. Solid. Hey, as we wrap, no, come on. We could go on all day with this stuff, but I love this part of the show. Sunday pitching.
15 seconds.
Our Sunday. Well, we've got about two and a half minutes left. Okay. Our Sunday pitching matchup. Obviously, yep. We have Luke Weaver and Cahill, and I'm interested to see what you have to say about Weaver.
Sure. So the Diamondbacks and the Giants have this common bond here, and that. They give up a lot of balls in the air. Luke Weaver has allowed 40 balls in the air and 16 balls on the ground. That is a 29% ground ball rate. And when I was a kid, and I think when you were a kid, and when others were kids here, that was a somewhat unacceptable kind of ground ball rate. But the Diamondbacks actually have three pitchers with a rate like that. Robbie Ray's ground ball rate is 19, which is absurd, and Matt Bums is 24. The Diamondbacks rank third in the majors in ground ball rate, the lowest, 39%. Hmm. That's not good. The Giants are the worst at 37. So Luke Weaver looked for a lot of fly balls today. He's been way off his game. When he's good, changeup is good, but he has not been good this season.
Well, they've got the ground ball guy on the hill today. That's the guy, Trevor Cahill, the bowling ball sinker. That's what they're looking for.
Yeah, absolutely. And the last appearance, the thing that you were encouraged by is that he threw strikes. 20 of 28 fastballs for strikes. He had the four walks in 1 2/3 innings in his debut. I think 3-4 innings from him, maybe five if they can get it. Five and be happy. And I think that I don't have, like, my expectations for him are not necessarily particularly high today. But they certainly weren't high for Tyler Anderson yesterday.
No. We said five. We thought if he got through the first couple of innings, he could give him five solid, and it turned out to be nine. Mark, thank you so much for a great report. I look forward to talking with you next Sunday. Always a pleasure.
You got it.
All right, that's Mark Simon, Sports Info Solutions. Mark A. Simon says on Twitter, and please follow him. He really does good stuff during the week. Adam, what a week of baseball this is going to be. You've got a big week, of course, covering it on your shows each week, each day. Dodgers coming in, more Arizona next weekend, the game today. You got a lot to look forward to.
Well, and this is the one Dodger series, right? That was what Gabe Kapler had said early in the season. The first look at the schedule shows you that you don't get the Dodgers coming here as many times as the Giants go to L.A. And this is an opportunity that if they're going to do something, they really are going to rattle the cages in the division. You got to do it against the top-seeded teams, and the Dodgers are certainly the one to do it against. Should be a fun rivalry week, I think, Marty.
Absolutely. And we'll see if Farhan reads the room. Let's see if he can read the room. That'll be my story next weekend. Hey, Adam, have a great afternoon, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right. I'll talk to you later, Marty.
All right. That is Adam Copeland. Love talking ball with him.